Prices valid November 13th through 29th. Available in-store and online while supplies last.
Where does Iowa football go from here? As long as it isn't back to Madison, does it matter? 319-366-1600.
From freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
I love this team. I love their approach every week. We have had very few issues except for the games.
That's Nebraska coach Mike Riley, but it sort of seems appropriate looking back on Saturday's game with the Hawkeyes and the Badgers. Welcome in. 4:05, a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Good to be back with you since we were off on Friday. Alex Kuhn along with me till 7 o'clock tonight. Kyle Mann, our producer, on the other side of the glass, will be with you. And we've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We're going to be handing out to one lucky listener tonight before 7 o'clock. Speaking of times, just get this taken care of right off the bat. If you listen to us on 1600 AM, you will have us until 6:30 tonight. That's because the Iowa State men are in action at Hilton Coliseum against Milwaukee, formerly Wisconsin Milwaukee. That game tips off at 7 o'clock, so John Walters will be on the pregame at 6:30. That means the final half hour of this program will finish on the FMs only. 106.3 in Iowa City, welcome aboard and hello. The same can be said to 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Great show on tap for you tonight. We're going to be talking with John Walters coming up at the bottom of the hour, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. A difficult weekend in Ames for both the men's basketball team and the football team. Tough losses to Mizzou on the hardwood in Oklahoma State at Jack Trice Stadium. Mac McCausland will be with us, his first appearance of the year. No, he didn't go with Tyler to WNML in Tennessee. He's going to be with us tonight at 5 o'clock. And Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, who I believe will be sitting in for Alex this Friday as a guest host on the program alongside me, will be joining us at 5:35 tonight. Also, plenty of college football coaching news to get to today as well. Coming up in the third and final hour, we'll take a look at what the firing of Butch Jones at Tennessee means for Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and who could possibly be in line for some of the open jobs at this point. Pete Thamel, now at Yahoo, had a very good piece looking at some names for some jobs that are open, and basically at this point, everything is in the hands of the Florida Gators. We'll get to that and more. Lots more to get to, including our poll question at akgymradio.com. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Who had the ugliest loss of the weekend, including Friday? We'll include you and I against North Carolina in basketball, Iowa State against Missouri in basketball, or, of course, Iowa and Wisconsin. Alex, 66 yards of offense. 66 yards of offense 1 week after completely obliterating Ohio State. What the hell happened? 319-366-1600.
I have no idea. Do you, Todd? I don't know if Iowa knows what happened. To go from the way they looked 7 days prior to Saturday to the way they looked on Saturday is pretty unimaginable. And I know that Wisconsin, first of all, talking about Wisconsin and their merits as a team that belongs in the college football playoff discussion, where I had chatted as to whether they or UCF should get in. They're a good football team. There's no question about it. But 66 yards, the worst offensive performance in the Kirk Ferentz era, the fewest yards that Wisconsin has ever given up. I don't have the answer as to why they looked as hapless as they did offensively on Saturday.
Worse than Arizona State back in 2004. And if you remember that game, that was they wouldn't have scored had it not been for a Walner Bellius return in that game. And the weather was terrible. And one of the reasons Iowa isn't going out west much anymore. Wisconsin, by the way, up to number 5 in this week's AP poll, up one spot from 6th. They're 10-0 one spot behind Clemson, who is fourth, Oklahoma third, Miami number two coming off that big win over Notre Dame, and then Alabama number one with 57 of a possible 63 first-place votes in the AP poll. No Hawkeyes, no Cyclones, no surprise. Again, the number 319-366-1600, that is the Hertine and Stocker text line. Want to hear from you. Where does this Iowa football team go from here? 319-366-1600. They close out the year this weekend with a home game, the final game at Kinnick Stadium against Purdue. And then it's a short week turnaround, Black Friday showdown with the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Lincoln. And Mike Riley, you heard him on the intro to the program. He likes everything. Everything's been going great, except for those pesky games. If you take the games out of the equation, everything's right with that program. They got embarrassed over the weekend by P.J. Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Absolutely embarrassed. And again, we're going to be talking about how this could affect the coaching carousel coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, because Scott Frost, Nebraska, reportedly already taking a look and reaching out to Central Florida. No talks between the two yet. Scott Frost has essentially gone quiet. He's focusing on Central Florida. He very much wants to get Central Florida through an undefeated season. And then he'll be taking a look at where things may lay. But Florida's got a jump start on Tennessee in the search for new head coaches in the SEC. Again, we're going to get to that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. As many of you know, I was not in Madison on Saturday. I was attending my grandmother's funeral back home in DeWitt, so I recorded the game and had the pleasure of listening to Gary Dolphin and Ed Podolak on the way home. Caught most of the second half, and look, there's no way to sugarcoat what happened. And I think it just, if you're an Iowa fan, you've got to be almost shell-shocked at this point, because I'm having a hard time recalling such a drastic turnaround in 7 days from the absolute high of humiliating Ohio State, an opponent that you've never had much success against. I mean, we were talking about that as the biggest surprise or the biggest win of the Kirk Ferentz era outside of bowl games. And then a week later, 7 days later, your offense musters up, I'll borrow from Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, only 66 yards. And if it wasn't for Josh Jackson, by the way, co-defensive player of the week in the Big Ten, and at this point, very likely first-round draft pick. He had his coming out party nationally against Ohio State and again this past weekend. Jonathan Taylor, by the way, not to get too off track here, but the outstanding freshman running back at Wisconsin, the freshman of the year in the Big Ten for the sixth time this season, which leaves him one shy of tying the all-time Big Ten record held by, do you know, Alex? It's a player that we may or may not have been talking about within the last month.
Albert Young.
Good guess. No,
Ron Dane.
Wrong school. JT Barrett at Ohio State was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year seven times. But very, very impressive, and certainly, look, Wisconsin is the best program in the Big Ten West right now. There's no doubt about that. And we talked coming into the season. We were in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day, and what did we say? It was Wisconsin number one, and everybody else was chasing number two. And if Wisconsin stubbed its toe, maybe there was one or two programs that could. I don't think too many people would. Look at what Northwestern has done, by the way. Just extremely impressive. Pat Fitzgerald reeling off the wins here down the stretch. The three overtimes, and then able to hold off Purdue, which comes to Iowa City on Saturday.
We're going to chat with Rob Howe a little bit later on in the show, but he wrote an outstanding piece at Hawkeye Nation after the game, talking about Iowa kind of getting put back in check after this Wisconsin game. And apparently on Saturday, Kirk Ferentz didn't necessarily buy into the idea that Wisconsin had separated themselves in the Big Ten race or as a better program in the Big Ten West, and that it was just about execution and Iowa didn't execute well and yada, yada, yada. I didn't see it that way. I agree 100% with Rob Howe. The Wisconsin Badgers showed that they were a better team in every single possible way on Saturday. Offensively, they controlled the ball. They ran the ball at will. Over 5 yards a carry for Jonathan Taylor. If they didn't turn the ball over, that would have been a really ugly football game. Let's not forget, and I don't think people are forgetting, Josh Jackson was the only reason that was a football game for about 2.5 quarters. But at the end, the margin of this game doesn't tell the true story of how lopsided it was. And the defense at least tried to show some resistance. The offense, I have no idea what the case was. I know Wisconsin is a good football team defensively, but 66 yards after 487 yards against Ohio State, which was ranked in the top 5 in total defense, not only against the rush, but against the pass, and to look completely baffled by everything. And I said this on Saturday, but it's hard to point the finger at one thing. It's hard to say that one person or one part of the game plan was worse than the other. It just looked like a collective failure offensively.
Special teams was absolutely atrocious.
Awful.
Is it just me or those busy? Did those get locked? Okay, that's explaining why we haven't heard from anybody. 319-366-1600. My apologies if you've been trying to call us there for the last 15 minutes. Where does Iowa go from here, and what does what happened Saturday in Madison say about this team? 319-366-1600. Look, they're sitting on 6 wins. They should get 7 this weekend. They should get 8. Look, I don't know what the mood is around that Nebraska program at the moment because I'm not there in Lincoln, but I can't imagine that a week and a half from now, unless you get a really rally the troops moment with Mike Riley, that it's his last stand, Iowa should end the regular season with 8 wins. And then you've got an opportunity to go to a bowl game. I know a lot of the projections right now have Iowa playing in the Music City Bowl in Nashville. We'll wait and see on that. Again, the Big Ten teams are not going to get the benefit of having 2 teams in the New Year's Six as they have in recent years, so that's going to avoid teams getting pulled up a bowl or a level, if you will. And there's some other really intriguing options for bowls out there at this point, and really at this point way too far to be looking down the road. But this team has a good opportunity to win 8 games, and then I don't know how you do a post-mortem on this team looking back at the end of the season, because 8-4, I would say, exceeded expectations or will exceed expectations if it comes to fruition. Because I said at the beginning of the year, probably 7-5, and if something goes wrong, they're a 6-win team or worse. But it's this 1 week stretch where you go from the Ohio State game to Wisconsin. I can't explain it. And that's what makes a possible 8-win season with this team a complete, utter head-scratcher. Because were they the Hawkeyes that played Ohio State, or were they the Hawkeyes that we've seen most of the year, including, and I think last week in Madison was the height of the offensive struggles. But as you pointed out, you can't single out one thing. It's offense. Then the defense kept them in that game, but special teams, absolutely atrocious. And I think Kirk Ferentz is probably going to be asked a number of questions about the special teams play tomorrow when we hear from him in Iowa City. Let's go to Solon and bring Todd on board. 366-1600. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. Just want to talk a little bit about our reluctancy late in the game when our offense is struggling. It runs through the quarterback. Why are we so reluctant to not give somebody else an opportunity when the game is obviously already in Wisconsin's hands? What's the reluctancy to get the backup quarterback in there and give him a few shots?
Good question, Todd. If you want to follow him, 366-1600. My first 2 thoughts on that, and Alex, jump in here. One, Stanley's the number one guy because he's better than the number two guy. And two, I think most coaching staffs would be averse to putting themselves in a situation where the number two guy could possibly look better than the number one guy. And then you're talking about, look, Stanley is the guy. he is their quarterback, and he's going to be the quarterback most likely for the next couple years. I apologize to Peyton Manziel if he's listening, but they were all in on Stanley last year. They don't play him as a true freshman and let him essentially grow moss on the bench if they don't think he's the guy long-term moving forward. And look, no, but Tyler Wiegers, there wasn't a quarterback alive that was not even Chuck Long in his heyday that was going to lead Iowa to a comeback in that game. So you roll with what you got.
He's a sophomore, and he is your guy. And
Jake Christensen, get out of here, text line.
He's shown the ability to be a good quarterback, and you have to let him battle through tough times. What good does it do to only have him out there? And, oh, when time gets tough, let's yank him. There's no younger quarterback behind him. There's nobody you're grooming to be your quarterback for the next couple of years. Peyton Manziel is redshirting this year, so you're not going to bring him in. And Tyler Wiegers is a junior. So presumably, unless something happens to Nate Stanley, he's not going to play. So I think that kind of answers the question.
Kool-Aid brings up a really good point on the text line, and maybe it's food for fodder when we've got a little while here in between guests. But what is the identity of this team? Because he says on the Hertine and Stocker text line that all season long this team has lacked an identity. And that's, I think, problematic, right? When you get 10 weeks into the season and you don't have an identity.
When you're talking about an identity for a football team, you're talking about what can they do well. And I think we're mostly talking about offensively. What can they do consistently well? And right now the answer is nothing. So yes, they are still searching for an identity.
Stop on the text line. The text line is blowing up, naming virtually every former Iowa quarterback and backup quarterback of the last 15 to 20 years. Now, I find it highly entertaining, but it's keeping me from keeping this on track when you are bringing up my pal Randy Reiners there at 35:30. By the way, I saw Randy, I think he was on the field after the Ohio State game was over. I saw a lot of former Iowa players. Randy, of course, is still living in the area. I say, of course, you might not know this, but he's still living in the area. 319-366-1600, Paul Burmeister. You guys literally stop. Josh and Ely, what's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I posted this on my social media on Saturday, but I said, if an alien were to land on Earth and ask me to sum up Iowa football in a nutshell, I would basically give them the game tape from Ohio State and give them the game tape from Wisconsin. And it's kind of a microcosm of what Iowa football is in general. You'll have your high times, you'll have your lowest of lows, but basically it's always going to be somewhere in the middle. But I think that's where we're at right now. It's hard, you know, it is hard as fans. We get low, we get high, but sometimes we get high off of other things too if they're playing badly, but that's a different point. So I don't know. It's Iowa football. It is what it is. Thanks for taking my call, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, Josh, and that's just the identity of this year's team and, unfortunately, a lot of teams in the past. I think if an alien landed, the first person to tell them about Iowa football would probably bring up Kirk Ferentz's contract at this point.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
As we talked after the Ohio State game, nobody's talking about it. And then, again, one of the first things I saw on Saturday after I got back home was somebody mentioning it on social media. 423, the number again, 319-366-1600. We'll take a Hawkeye break coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little Iowa State football and basketball with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones. The text line, you guys can stop now on the text line because Wiggy brought up John Buecher, and that's it. It's game, set, match. If there was a prize attached to this, it would go to Wiggy. I was actually at it was Robert Gallery's first start on the offensive line in 2000. It was the very first game that I covered, Iowa football game I covered for the Daily Iowan in Bloomington, Indiana. They're taking on the Hoosiers, and not much of a big story that day. Oh, Robert Gallery has made the position switch, and he's in there on the offensive line. And the Buecher threw for like 400 and some yards or something like that, and Iowa still got their rear ends handed to him by Indiana that afternoon. But John Buecher, everybody was all in on him. And then he ends his Iowa career as a walk-on with Steve Alford and the basketball team. 424. Step aside and take a quick timeout. We come back. Kyle's going to have your first big board update today. Here's a spoiler alert. We got a lot of Hawkeyes, Cyclones, and Panthers with Player of the Week honors. Back with more after this.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
You've got your rake, your gloves, and plenty of leaves in the yard. Now you just need to know what to do with them. Well, it's pretty easy. The City of Cedar Rapids divides the city into quadrants and picks up every other week. The schedule's at cityofcr.com/leaf. But you can make it even easier when you sign up at crnewsnow.com. Sign up with your street address and the city will send you a text or email reminder when it's your pickup week. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up today at crnewsnow.com.
The text line is all in on pushing this "how would you explain Iowa football to an alien" story. I didn't come up with that. And then there's no possible room for it today. We got a packed show. John Walters coming up out of the hour. Mac McCausland, Rob Howe at HawkeyeNation.com. Let's go to Oriole Country and Scott in Springville. He thinks we're overlooking the fact that Wisconsin was just pretty good on Saturday. What's up, Scott?
Well, I'm just saying to your screener that, man, Wisconsin is very good. I'd love to go win the whole national championship. If they play like that against anybody in the country, they're going to beat them.
Well, look, and no, I don't think anybody's taking anything away from Wisconsin because they are the number five team in the country. I think if you were completely overlooking, you know, if Iowa were to lose to Purdue and you were having this conversation or something like that, then I would be saying, hey, we got to give Jeff Brohm and Purdue credit, which, by the way, Jeff Brohm's name is coming up with some of these job openings. And I actually saw the buyout on his contract at Purdue, and I could not believe what it was.
Let me guess, way too little. I won't spoil it.
People are going to have to. Yeah, that's how it works in this business. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa was humiliated in Madison on Saturday, but with that said, Josh Jackson is as hot as a defensive back can be, and today was named a co-Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week after housing two pick sixes to give the Hawkeyes their only points of the day. He's the first Hawkeye to win the award in back-to-back weeks, and he leads the country with 23 passes defended and 7 picks. Luka Garza is off to a fast start for Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team. He was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week for his play in his first two games, averaging team best with 13.5 points per game, 9 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks. He also became just the fifth Hawkeye in the last 20 years to record a double-double in his first or second game. It wasn't just the guys who looked good this weekend. A junior, Megan Gustafson, was named the Big Ten Women's Basketball Player of the Week after putting up some incredible numbers over the weekend. She had 16 and 15 in a win over Quinnipiac on Friday and followed with a career-high 35 points and 17 boards against Western Kentucky on Saturday. 18 of those points came in the fourth quarter and overtime as the Hawkeyes made a 10-point comeback, and she had 3 blocks in overtime alone to secure the 104-97 victory. Quick shout-out to former Hawkeye Adrian Claiborne, who had a Falcons franchise record 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a recovery against the Cowboys. He'll be your AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Tonight at 6:35, we'll hop off the air on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and pass things off to Iowa State basketball taking on Milwaukee. And after we finish up on the FMs, we'll carry Monday Night Football between the Dolphins and Panthers.
Lest we be accused of being the Hawkeye Radio Network, we'll let you know that Matt Campbell said today Trevor Ryan is good to go for this weekend's game at Baylor. The Cyclones, a 9.5-point road favorite over the Bears. We're going to be talking about it coming up with John Walters at the bottom of the hour. Ryan, a hit on a 22-yard completion, a targeting call on Trey Flowers in the second half, ejected from the game. He'll miss the first half of Oklahoma State's game this weekend. Strange kickoff times this weekend. Now you got Iowa State and Baylor at 1:30 on Saturday, and then Iowa and Purdue at 2:30. 2:30, not necessarily a strange kickoff time, but I wasn't quite expecting a 2:30 game for the Boilermakers, but I don't make the schedule. 319-366-1600.
It's on BTN, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering that. I figured that if it was a 2:30 game, that would be the only reason that maybe it got past the ESPN family of networks to the Big Ten Network.
I'm just happy that we are not talking about Pop-Tarts and any of the... Look, I don't like it when friends of mine are going back and forth and getting into it on Twitter. It's just there's a very ugly battle over Pop-Tarts happening on Twitter right now. By the way, if you want to give me a follow on Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, you can give KGYM a follow as well, at KGYM Radio. And I know we got Rob Howe coming up at 5:30 today. We'll talk a little more Hawkeye football with him. But the focus turns to Iowa State. Where do the Cyclones go from Oklahoma State? And was that a touchdown or an interception in the end zone in the final play? We'll talk with John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, when he joins us next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty in Grinnell.
4 points of contact. That's all you get with the road. And the pavement really doesn't care if it's wet, snowy, slick, or icy. So when it's time to choose those crucial new tires, get help from the people whose guiding principle has been safe travels on quality tires for 3 generations. Linder Tire Service. They know tires, and they understand exactly what your vehicle needs on wintry Iowa drives. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Ride on their reputation for integrity and excellent service. LinderTire.com.
And on Apple Podcasts. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. Four-time champion Italy has failed to qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Italy will join the United States, Cameroon, and Chile among nations that will not be participating in the 2018 World Cup. As bad as it was for the United States not making it, Italy has a streak of 14 consecutive World Cup appearances. Snapped. Italy will miss its first World Cup since 1958. Italy played to a 0-0 draw with Sweden. Goalless draw, and then they lost 1-0 on aggregates earlier this afternoon in Milan. Chiefs today have waived nose tackle Roy Miller 2 days after he was arrested on domestic battery charges against his wife. The Browns have said linebacker Jamie Collins, torn MCL, season done. Texans are going to stick with Tom Savage at quarterback. Broncos will stick with Brock Osweiler. And the Panthers and the Dolphins, Monday Night Football tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Experience why for nearly a century, men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hass. Are you wasting time worrying about timekeeping and scheduling instead of calling the plays for your business? The pros at Future Systems can handle all of your scheduling and timekeeping needs. With web-based timekeeping, your team can clock in whether they're at home or away. And when you add integrated scheduling, you can avoid a penalty flag for having too many players on the field. Call the All-Americans at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
It's the Ford year-end sales event.
I can't wait for you to meet my parents.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, here's a spot.
Can you fit?
Just watch.
I am, and so is my family. Why are you taking your hands off the wheel?
And park.
The Ford Edge, with available enhanced active park assist, makes parallel parking very impressive. They're gonna love you. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand, now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash on select Fusion, Focus, Escape, Edge, and Explorer models. Hurry, offer expires November 30th, 2017. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Driver assist features are supplemental and do not replace driver's attention, judgment, and need to control the vehicle. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job site? Oh. Well, I guess they can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My List that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
Ryan. Ryan. Hey, Ryan.
I can't hear you over the drums.
Stop.
What? Hey, I was practicing.
For what?
The Nissan Heisman House is back.
That's great, but we have a show to do.
Sorry. I just can't get enough of the Heisman House.
Just go to NissanHeismanHouse.com to get your fill and vote for next year's Heisman winner. Ryan.
Sorry.
Welcome back in. A $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill could be yours, good for any of the three locations, including their newest location in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, where they have a wonderful party room that you could look into using for holiday parties, family functions, watch parties, whatever you're interested in. LaCantina319.com is their website. Again, a $30 gift certificate is going to be somebody's before 7 o'clock tonight. FM frequencies only after 6:30 tonight, and that's because Iowa State, the men's basketball team, looking to get into the win column tonight. They host Milwaukee at Hilton Coliseum. Joining us now, as he does every week during football and basketball season, it's the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, John Walters. His appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth stewardship partner. And John, touchdown or interception or still ambiguous, the last play of the game, your thoughts?
Well,
we know what the ruling was.
Yeah, I think according to what the rule book states, that was a catch. Now, would I be saying the same thing if the play was at the other end? I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, the rule book states that if two guys have simultaneous possession of the football, you have a catch. And you can't compromise and call it incomplete or anything because the ball never hit the ground. And so it's either an interception or a catch. Well, according to the rule, if it's a little bit of both, the tie goes to the runner. And I think it should have been a touchdown. But you know, I'm sure those guys had the reasons for calling it the way they did, and you got to move on, but that was a tough way to lose a game.
What can you say about the way that Zeb Nolan came into that game and kind of kept the offense going without skipping a beat?
Yeah, he really did a nice job. Zeb's, I'm sure, was getting a lot of reps in practice during the week, and, you know, it says a lot about Jim Hoffer, the quarterback's coach and the passing game coordinator, that no matter who's been at that position this year, they have stepped in really ready to play. That tells me an awful lot about him and what he's done with that group and not assuming anything. You know, it's been really impressive because they've had four different guys play quarterback this year, and really all four of them have played it well. And so for Zeb to step in there as a redshirt freshman under those circumstances with that kind of pressure and deliver like he did was just really, really good to see. And important for his future. I think it'll really help him going forward.
Trevor Ryan took that big hit from Trey Flowers in the second half on that critical 22-yard completion. A, I can't believe he held on to the ball. But B, sounds like Matt Campbell said today he should be a good to go this weekend against Baylor, right?
Yeah, I got the same impression from his remarks. Man, what a colossal hit that was. And really, the thing about it is Trevor took hit after hit after hit in that game. I mean, he kept getting popped on returns. Even the play right before that, the the previous play, he was on the sideline and took a huge hit, you know, and then came back and made that catch over the middle. Really showed me something by hanging on to the football under those circumstances. But, yeah, just what a tough guy, you know. I mean, former walk-on, and it's just amazing how fearless he is going over the middle like that. And you're going to take some hits. And, man, that was a physical football game. That's the thing. The last couple games for Iowa State, the West Virginia game, this game, I thought were both very, very physical football games. And so I'm sure there's a lot of sore bodies, a lot of sore guys, you know, right now, especially as thin as Iowa State is at some positions. So I think for the coaching staff, one of the challenges right now is to not overexert these guys in practice, to make sure that they're scaling things down and just trying to get to game day. And, you know, that can be kind of a catch-22, but I think that the most important thing is that you have your guys at your disposal on game day, and that's what they're trying to do.
Senior Day was on Saturday, and now after the loss and after the Big 12 championship aspirations go out the window, you have two winnable games on the road to round out the season. What's it going to mean for these seniors like Alan Lazard and Joel Lanning and Kamari Cotton-Moya to win these last two games and to position themselves higher in the bowl pecking order?
It would be huge for those guys. I think they, you know, for one thing, these last three games that they had, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Kansas State, were the three opponents that those guys had never beaten before. And so, you know, they didn't settle the score with Oklahoma State, but I'm sure they would love to get a win against Baylor and to win against Kansas State in their careers. And that's number one. But, you know, number two, all the obvious things that are out there still, the bowl pecking order, just the number of wins. You know, I mean, if you can win these last two and go into a bowl game and win that, you'd have nine wins, which would match the school record. And so, you know, there's a lot of incentives, certainly, to continue to play. Matt Campbell was asked today at his press conference about, you know, the possibility of a letdown against Baylor. And he kind of laughed it off and said, every game since I've been here is the biggest game in Iowa State's history, it seems. And so this is just another one of those. And I think he really does approach it that way. But, I mean, it's kind of funny to think about, you know, a team that you haven't beat. I think since 2012 was the last time that Iowa State beat Baylor. You know, you haven't beat them in 5 years. I don't see anybody letting down or assuming that anything's going to be easy against a team that you haven't beaten in several years. So it'll be interesting to see what Iowa State does. But, you know, two great opportunities on the road. This team's been really good on the road, and hopefully they can find a way to go win two more.
John Walters, play-by-play voice, the Iowa State Cyclones, joining us again. His appearance every Monday, sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner. What do the Cyclones need to do this weekend in order to... I don't want to say right the ship, because the last two losses have been close and they've been in those games, but to get back into the win column this weekend, how do they approach a game plan for Baylor?
Well, I think probably the number one thing in this game that I'm looking at as a storyline is you've got two freshman quarterbacks starting. You know, Charlie Brewer for Baylor is a true freshman, led Blake Travis to a state championship last year. And has gotten some playing time here recently and really played well. And they have tremendous receivers. I mean, they've had some injuries at those positions, but Baylor still has, as Matt Campbell said today, a lot of elite athletes on that roster. They really do. There's a lot of four-star, five-star type guys that are on that roster still. Even though they're struggling this year, it's not because of a complete lack of talent in their program. And so, but I look at Charlie Brewer, you know, getting the start as a true freshman, Zeb Nolan getting probably the start, I would assume, unless Kemp is ready to go, as a redshirt freshman. You know, to me, that's a pretty good storyline. Two guys going to go out, and I think whatever, you know, program can ask their freshman quarterback to do the least, you know, I mean, obviously they're going to be a big part of the plan for both teams, but, you know, try not to make them do too much, I think, is the important thing for Iowa State if Zeb is indeed the starter. We'll see what happens with Kyle Kemp. I mean, certainly there's a long time to go between now and Saturday, but, you know, based on him ending that game in street clothes, I would say, you know, you got to almost expect Zeb Nolan to be the guy to go this week.
Assuming those two were healthy, does Matt Campbell have a decision on his hands late in the season if he thinks Zeb Nolan could be the guy for the future?
Well, I think if Kyle Kemp's ready to go, I think he'll start. I don't see much doubt about that. I mean, Kyle has done such a great job over the last month, and has really earned that and didn't do anything to really lose the spot. I think you don't think too much about the future right now. You're trying for this group of seniors and this team and this program's health to, you know, win as many games as you can. And I think if Kyle's ready to go, based on what we've seen and what he's done, I would think that he would be the starting quarterback. But I just personally have my doubts based on the fact that he, you know, wasn't even in uniform in the second half. But we'll see. I mean, strange things do happen, but it's going to be a long road back for him if he's able to get back in this week.
To me, one of the big keys last weekend, Oklahoma State did not turn the ball over. And then once things got beyond 30, I know Chris Williams from CycloneFanatic.com wrote about this. It just didn't seem like Iowa State's the type of team to built to get into a shootout, especially with a team like that.
Yeah, and it's a pretty good point, I think. I did have that same thought when Iowa State drove it right down the field in four plays and scored a touchdown and extended the lead out to eight, that it was starting to take on that kind of a wild shootout theme. And not that you would do anything differently on that drive. I mean, you had very successful plays and scored quickly. There's nothing wrong with that. It was kind of an all-or-nothing game for Iowa State offensively. They had a lot of three and outs in that game. Then they had a lot of drives that were great, you know, and ended in touchdowns, and very few that were in between. They didn't have many drives that were, you know, three or four first downs, and then you punted, or then you try a field goal, and I don't think they even tried a field goal in the whole game. So mostly it was just three and outs or touchdowns, and unfortunately a couple of those three and outs got sandwiched in there, you know, late in the game, and, you know, that was certainly the kind of game that Oklahoma State is used to playing. There's no doubt about that. They're used to the up and down type of games where the thing ends in the final minutes. And I saw the stat where in their last 15 games decided by 10 points or less, Oklahoma State is 14-1. That's an amazing stat. And, you know, they're the team that's used to winning those games and making that big play at the end. And Iowa State's been a lot better at that this year, but they probably still have a ways to go to catch Oklahoma State in that category. And, you know, the frustrating part is for the last 3 years, really, Iowa State could have been that team to make one more play and beat Oklahoma State. They could have three straight wins over these guys right now, but they don't. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about it. You got to go do it. So, you know, two more demons to exercise in these next 2 weeks with Baylor and Kansas State, games that have certainly gotten away from them in recent years when they've had opportunities to win against those opponents. So got to find a way to close the deal. I do think Iowa State's been better in that category this year, but, you know, you're going to have to keep doing it to win these close games. I mean, Iowa State's only been favored against Kansas and now against Baylor in the Big 12. And even going back to the non-conference, you had Akron and UNI. So, you know, the odds makers didn't have this as more than a four-win team. Even with all the success they've had, they've still been underdogs every week. So, you know, it just goes to show you how you have to kind of be almost perfect to win these games. And that's what Iowa State's done a few times this season.
John, when I heard that Matt Rhule was leaving Temple and heading to Waco, I thought, well, that's an interesting fit. They were used to run that wide-open spread, the air raid offense, and Matt Rhule is more of a pro-style type guy, former player at Penn State. Is he in a complete tear-down and start-over mode with that football program right now?
It's hard to tell. I think, you know, he strikes me as a very positive guy, and they needed that. They definitely needed a guy with a positive attitude and, you know, to try to bring those guys together. They, you know, they had so many defections and guys kicked off the team, and their scholarship numbers are really low right now, and they've been dealing with a lot of injuries. And I think just the way the season started was really tough for them because they dug themselves a hole, and it kind of feels like they've been trying to dig their way out ever since. But I do think, you know, he's a good fit for their program. I think they do need a positive guy down there right now, and he is that. And it'll be interesting. You know, they're playing at a slower tempo, for sure, than they ever did in the past. And they're not the same team, but they do a lot of the same stuff. They have great receivers. They have a really good running game with a good offensive line and several really good running backs. And then defensively, they've got a lot of athletes. They give up some big plays, but they do have a lot of athletes on that side of the ball. So, you know, I think it's a game where you could see a lot of big plays, and hopefully Iowa State makes its share. But this one could be another wild one on Saturday. I'm not sure what to expect going in there.
Quickly, before we say goodbye, no call-in show tonight because of the Iowa State game with Milwaukee at Hilton Coliseum. First look for Cyclone fans at this team in person. Tough loss to Missouri last week, but your thoughts on where this team is as it comes home tonight?
Well, they're a work in progress for sure, and there's a lot of work to be done, but I think the key word is progress. Can they continue to make progress as they go? And that's going to be the million-dollar question with these guys. I mean, they're really going to have to buy into what Coach Prohm is teaching them. They can't get down on themselves. They've got to, you know, they've got to accept the coaching and run with it because they've got to trust the staff. This is a really good staff that's had a ton of success in similar situations and in situations where the cupboard was more full. But bottom line is Steve Prohm's got a very positive attitude. He's good with those guys. He'll bring them along. If they buy into it, I hate to start sounding like Matt Campbell with the if you fall in love with the process will fall in love with you. But I mean, really, that's what this basketball team needs to do. And it's going to take some lumps along the way. There's going to be some bumps in the road for sure. But I think getting back at home tonight and hopefully playing well in front of the home crowd can be a big step in that direction. I still think it was better for Iowa State to go down to Missouri and get beat by 15 than it would have been to play an absolute dog and win by 30. I don't think that would have helped these guys really all that much. Might have given them some confidence, but I think it would have given them a little bit of fool's gold confidence. And I think these guys needed to see just how far they have to go. And now they have that measuring stick and they can start working on it. So the earlier you get to that, probably the better.
All right, John, we'll hear all the action tonight on 1600 AM here in Eastern Iowa. Thanks for the time, as always.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones. Again, his appearance is sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner. Well, who could those nobodies be? What kind of program would play a bunch of nobodies to start the year? By the way, Iowa beat Chicago State on Friday at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, and then yesterday beat Alabama State.
You don't think John was throwing shade, do you?
No. Iowa State and the folks in Ames, they very rarely ever direct any shade toward the Hawkeyes, especially when they're on in the eastern part of the state. Now, I agree with him. I think it's a good test, very similar to you and I, Ben Jacobson, taking the Panthers up to Madison for that exhibition game. Problem is, for Iowa State, this one counted. The UNI-Wisconsin one didn't, but I think it's a good measuring stick to put your guys out there against some pretty strong competition. Some people would say it's crazy, but I think the Cyclones found out a lot about themselves in that game, including that you can't shoot 17% in the first half and stand much of a chance of coming back in the second half and winning that game. So, ugly loss against Missouri. It's included in today's Emil's Hideaway poll question, by the way, at kgymradio.com. Which team had the ugliest loss over the weekend? We give you a couple basketball options, UNI and North Carolina, and of course Iowa State and Missouri. And then there is a football option, as we were talking about the first 25, 30 minutes of the program tonight, Iowa going on the road and coming up with just 66 yards of total offense against the Wisconsin Badgers. Emil's Hideaway's on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Remember, we've still got that $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill to give away sometime before. We'll do it before 6:30 tonight. That way, if you're listening to us on 1600 AM, you can still get in on the possibility of winning. And one final reminder, at least here in hour number one, 6:30 tonight, Cyclone Network takes over on 1600 AM. So if you're listening to us on 1600 AM, you can either hit the stream or the FMs, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, for the final 30 minutes tonight. We'll step aside, take a quick break, get you another big board update, and then it's on to hour number two, Hawkeye basketball and football on the way. Back with more after this.
Fellow Cyclone fans, this is Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion.
Oh, we will fight for Iowa State, and may her colors ever fly. Oh, we will fight with might for Iowa State. With the will to do or die, rah, 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 loyal sons forever true, and we will fight the battle through, and when we hit that line, we'll hit it hard, every yard for ISU.
Rugged, tough, made to last. That's what you need from your work clothes. And that's why Keke's Career Apparel carries Carhartt. These aren't clothes for looking pretty. They're made to get the job done. Keke's carries all the best from Carhartt in sizes up to 5XL. And if you need a special order, they'll take care of that at no charge too. Keke's Career Apparel and Carhartt. Hardworking clothes for hardworking people. 222 3rd Avenue Southwest in Cedar Rapids and at keecks.com.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Sometimes you forget just how awesome radio can be. And I was reminded of that this weekend because I spent a lot of time around the car, in the car, and I did get a chance to listen to John and Eric on the Cyclone Radio Network and kept up on the Oklahoma State-Iowa State game that way. And then coming back to Cedar Rapids from DeWitt, I did listen to Gary and Ed on the Hawkeye Radio Network. And both of us, I know there are people out there that aren't huge Gary Dolphin fans. I don't have a problem with Gary on the radio and the way that he calls games. Those guys have different styles. Gary Rima has a different style. I think we're really blessed to, and I hate that word. That's just, okay. I think we're really, really fortunate to have three radio guys as good as we do here in the state of Iowa between Walters, Dolphin, and Rima. It's a little something for everybody. Some people like Pop-Tarts, some people don't. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, stay away from Twitter. 4:56, let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one, second of the day.
Iowa had a pretty rough time in Madison on Saturday, but with that said, Josh Jackson is as hot as a defensive back can be, and today was named a co-Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week after housing two pick sixes to give the Hawkeyes their only points of the day. He's the first Hawkeye to win the award in back-to-back weeks, and he leads the country with 23 passes defended and 7 interceptions. Luca Garza is off to a fast start for Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team. He was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week for his play in his first two games, averaging team best with 13.5 points per game, 9 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks. He also became just the fifth Hawkeye in the last 20 years to record a double in his first or second game. It wasn't just the guys who looked good this weekend. Junior Megan Gustafson was named the Big Ten Women's Basketball Player of the Week after putting up some incredible numbers over the weekend. She had 16 and 15 in a win over Quinnipiac on Friday and followed with a career-high 35 points and 17 rebounds against Western Kentucky on Saturday. 18 of those points came in the fourth quarter and overtime as the Hawkeyes made a 10-point comeback, and she also had 3 blocks in overtime alone to secure a 104-97 victory. Quick shout-out to former Hawkeye Adrian Claiborne, who had a Falcons franchise record 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a recovery against the Cowboys. He'll be your AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Tonight at 6:35, we'll hop off the air on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and pass things off to Iowa State basketball taking on Milwaukee. And after we finish up on the FMs, we'll have the Dolphins and Panthers on Monday Night Football.
$750,000. That's what Adrian Claiborne made himself in one game last night, just by going up against a backup offensive lineman. But a very impressive game. C.J. Beathard had a great game for the 49ers as well, as they break into the win column. The Niners won yesterday for the first time since Christmas Eve last year. Hard to believe. 3 touchdown passes for the former Hawkeye quarterback. We're going to talk Hawkeye hoops with Mac McCausland. He's going to join us next. 106.3, 107.5, and 1600 AM KGYM, hour number 2 begins next.